absolute power corrupts absolutely.
You guys can point the finger at him. It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair.
Let's go. Ain't no room for hesitation up in here. It's time to leave it on the field. Because it's game time. It's time to make your hard work pay off. Make your mom and dad proud. Make your opponent pay the price. It's time to step up and get it done, son. You go hard or you go home. From the first whistle to the last. Bring it all day, every play. Because you know your boys are going to put on the line for you. They got your back, so you better have theirs. This is about the team. It's about pride. It's about who's the hungriest. So what's it going to be, man? You going to leave it on the field, or you going to leave it inside? You going to leave it or something in your tank, or you going to do what champions do? Leave nothing. Leave nothing.
Hello, hello, hello. Once again, everybody, 10 a.m. on the East Coast. I am JT, and I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, Mr. NFL Exporter, Lance.
Yes, yes, and, good morning.
And, wait a minute, before I bring you in on that. And this is the master plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637 is the place to be if you want to talk to the NFL Exporter or me. We got a great show in store for you tonight. Excuse me, this morning, we're talking about what T.O. is talking about.
You guys can point the finger at him. It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair.
We're talking about quarterbacks. That's what we're talking about. In the fantasy world, we're talking about quarterbacks. Sit back, get your pencil and piece of paper. And listen up, because we're going to drop the knowledge. And we also have a chat room if you want to ask a question, make a statement, whatever. In that chat room, you can do that. I'm looking at it, so if you put something in there, I'm definitely going to answer it for you. But without further ado, let's bring my esteemed co-host to the show, and let's get this thing rolling. What's up there, Lance? How you been, man?
I'm doing great, Jerry. How are you?
Oh, great, man. Absolutely great. We had a full array of games over the last 3 days, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Four of them ended up Saturday. Unfortunately, my team, the Texans, they were absolutely horrible, which was a surprise to me. I didn't think they were going to be that bad. Anyway, we had a great array of games. And some quarterbacks that are going to be starting the season played, some quarterbacks that either are nicked up or for one reason or another didn't play, and a lot of backups play. So I'm not going to get into the games. We're not going to get into the games, really, because this is the first game. And in my opinion, the first game and the last game are like really garbage times, because a lot of these quarterbacks, especially quarterbacks that most of them that played on different teams and are not on a new team, only played a few plays, and then they just put their backups in. And so we're just going to focus on our rankings. You and I are going to compare it. We also have another caller coming in here. How we feel about where the quarterbacks that are going to be playing starting this year fall into 1 through 24 or whatever. And then we're going to talk about some sleepers. So, Lance, I know you watched some
yes,
of these
sir.
Games. And tell me how you felt about some of these games before we go in. Not in any great detail.
Gotcha.
And then tell me how your week was going.
Yeah, some things that stood out to me from over the weekend. I actually have a column that I put up, and I was giving a drop. I've been hearing a lot of fantasy experts out there feeling that this year's rookie wide receivers class is going to have a huge impact on fantasy football. Felt a little bit different about that. I really think it depends on situation, quarterback. There's some extenuating circumstances. But the one guy who got off to a great start, who I felt was is in the best position this year to put up the best numbers, was Brandon Cooks from the New Orleans Saints. I really think he set up for success out there, obviously, in the past. Happy offense with Drew Brees. And also the Saints only really have Marcus Colston and Jimmy Graham are the longest tenure players with the Saints. The other starter at wide receiver is Kenny Stills. So I really think Brandon Cooks, especially coming in to replace some of Darren Sproles' production, I think he's going to have a big year as a rookie. And he certainly came out and impressed with five catches for 55 yards and a touchdown in his debut. So I think he had a really good game. A couple other things stood out to me was, the QB battle obviously going on out in Cleveland with Manziel and Hoyer. Both players, played pretty well. I still felt that Hoyer had a little bit more accuracy on his balls, but looked like that one is going down to the wire. And then also real quick, it looks like Rashard Jennings is going to be a workhorse for the Giants this year. It's just I'm not sure how that Giants offense overall is going to look. So that's something else I'm going to be keeping an eye on.
Okay. You know, one of the things, and this has to be quarterback related, one of the things I noticed, and unfortunately it was against my Texans, they slapped this guy in. He was the third quarterback on the Cardinals, and they considered him a project. Now, I can't read too much into it because he wasn't running with the ones. He was probably with the threes and the fours, whatever, playing against. I'm talking about a quarterback they considered a project. I forget what round he got taken in. Logan Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching, quite naturally, I was watching the Cardinals and Texans game, and this kid was slinging the ball and showed a lot of accuracy and a lot of touch on his ball, for one, and also he showed a rocket for an arm. So that is someone that he probably will never play because he sits behind Carson Palmer and Drew Stanton. He's third on the depth chart, and they really have to go through those two before he would actually be the number elite, well, at least the number one quarterback. So the catastrophe has to happen with the Cardinals in order for Logan Thomas to even touch the field in a regular NFL game. But I think the future, as long as he keeps up what he's doing, and he has one of the quarterback whisperers with Tom Moore and Bruce Arians behind him, coaching him, this kid could be a surprise in the future. So that's just something that I happen to see. Unfortunately, like I said, it was against my team, but just keep that in the back of your mind, way in the back of your mind, because I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. But he seems like he may have a bright future, especially with the tutelage of those two coaches. Anyway, I got a caller in here. I want to bring him in. He's a regular caller on several shows that I'm on. And I'm surprised, I wouldn't say I'm surprised, but I'm pleasantly surprised that he called in on Sunday. Welcome, Macau. How you doing, my man?
What's going on, man? How you been?
All right. You're going to welcome my new co-host, Lance, and he's the NFL exporter, Lance Goodman. So, Lance, this is Macau. He's a regular caller on here at times.
Yeah, I am an accurate representation of the family that Victor is from. I'm the more accurate representation.
Uh oh.
Yeah, he happens to come from the bloodline of Victor, Victor Gardner's, and he happens to be his cousin. So he's the yin against Victor's yang. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
Anyway,
what's going on today, man?
We're going to be talking fantasy, and we're going to be talking about ranking quarterbacks. So sit back, listen, and I'm going to ask for your input along with my esteemed co-host, and we're going to be talking about the quarterbacks. And you know what I'm going to do? Instead of going from one down to wherever we're going to go from the bottom. Usually in the 12-team league.
These are fantasy rankings.
Yes, they are. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Yes, they are. Usually, on a fantasy team, the owner of a team, not all the time, but usually they pick two quarterbacks, okay? And so I'm going with a on the premise of two quarterbacks on a team, on a 12-team league. Excuse me. So that would be approximately 24 quarterbacks. And I'm starting from the bottom and working my way up. And I'll do this. This guy, he starting at 24, he returns from a torn ACL he had in 2013. He's expected to show out this year because of the fact is he's been in the same offense for the last few years. He's got a damn good, one of the best defenses in the league. He's got a bona fide running back that showed out in his rookie year in Zach Stacy. And he's got a complement of wide receivers, some of them second-year wide receivers. Kenny Britt coming over from the from the Titans to reunite with his old coach. In my opinion, this is a make-or-break year for Sam Bradford, and I have him rated as the number 24 quarterback, and hopefully he can play up to his expectations of the number one rankie when he got drafted a few years ago. I'm going to go to my esteemed co-host in his opinion of me putting Sam Bradford at number 24, whatever else he wants to talk about with Mr. Bradford. Talk to me there, my man.
Sure. Definitely Sam Bradford. I actually have him rated a little bit higher. I actually have him on my board sitting at 20. And so he's not too far from your 24. And, you know, it's interesting with Bradford is that it's really about him staying on the football field, which in a short four-year career, you know, he's had a little bit of trouble doing. Last year he was actually a pleasant fantasy football surprise. A lot of people had him, you know, he was either on the free agent wire or just sitting on somebody's bench, but through seven games last year, he had 1,687 yards with 14 touchdown passes to only four interceptions, and that was just in seven games. And so if we were to stretch that out through over the course of the season, he would have had some fantastic numbers. But, it's a little bit confusing with Bradford. Like I said, I think the whole key to his situation is just staying healthy. They do have a good running back there. And Zach Stacy, they were trying to replace Stephen Jackson. The wide receivers, though, I'm certainly not sold on. You did mention Kenny Britt. Tavon Austin is pretty much the best, receiver in that group, and I'm anxious to see if Austin can have the same type of success that Bradford had with Danny Amendola. When Amendola was in the slot, I expect to see Austin a lot in the slot this year. But outside of that, I'm just not sold on their receiving core. You know, Chris Givens, Austin Pettis, Brian Quick, Devin Bailey. I think that he has a good tight end in Jared Cook. I think Cook could do some damage and benefit from Bradford. And accuracy is definitely Bradford's calling card. And so, Jerry, I think if he can stay on his feet, this is certainly a year, like you said, just kind of make or break for him because we just have not been able to really you know, get I think the body of work out of him that you would want to see from a number one draft pick.
Okay. Hey, how about you there, Mikal? What's your thoughts on Mr. Sam Bradford, Mr. Brittle?
I think your assessment is spot on. But I would go so far as to say, man, I wouldn't even take that dude on my fantasy team. I wouldn't even take him. I mean, because he got a proof. He really got a proof. And yeah, he got a little arm or whatever. You know, he can sling it. He might be able to put up some numbers. Here, look, if I go hard and grab a whole bunch of running backs and, you know, it's a big league or whatever, I might pick him up, throw him on the bench, you know, see what he could do. But I think your assessment was spot on, man. I'm surprised you even got him right.
Well, there's some other quarterbacks that you guys will probably be surprised that I don't have ranked, but you won't know that until I get to the number one. So it is what it is. Anyway, this one guy, the next guy ranked number 23, I watched a little of this game, and I was not impressed. Maybe it's just because he is learning a new system, or that he hasn't synced up or got a rhythm with his wide receivers, but he did not look good at all. He signed a 2-year, $10 million contract after coming over from Chicago to the Bucks, and believe it or not, Mike Glennon, who is the was a rookie last year and his second year player, looked a little better. But I think the Tampa Bay Bucks are going to have issues within the quarterback position unless Josh McCown, who I've got ranked number 23, is going to be playing better than he played 2 days ago. He completed 2 of 4 passes for 20 yards and a pick six on Friday against the Jaguars. He did not look good at all. He looked like a backup. Let me put it that way. In my opinion, he looked like a backup, and he was early on tabbed as the starting quarterback for the Tampa Bay Bucks. So I don't know. Maybe he'll play better in the next couple of games. I hope he does. I know Lovie Smith hopes he does. Otherwise, there's going to be a problem at the quarterback position with those two tall wide receivers that he can throw to, along with the tight end that they picked up in the draft. Lance, talk to me, my man. I wasn't impressed with Josh McCown. I got him ranked 23. What's your thoughts on his ranking at 23 out of 24 quarterbacks I got?
Sure. That sounds accurate, Jerry. I actually have him at 16 on my board. That is actually, you know, going with a more optimistic outlook on him, and it's really based on the skill players that he has around him, and that is also factoring in that this offense is going to, at some point, be able to get on track. You know, they have some new additions, like you said, not only McCown, but they also went out and drafted Mike Evans. You have Vincent Jackson. So, like you said, you have two tall and good receivers. Jackson, obviously, you know, has proven his worth in the NFL, and since coming to Tampa Bay, he's put the numbers up. Evans is a guy obviously looking to make a name for himself as a rookie. I like the depth at tight end. You know, they have Brandon Myers. Tim Wright, you know, had a good rookie season last year. Like you said, they drafted Zephyrin Jenkins. So I think having some people step up in that third and fourth receiver will be important for him. Also, it depends on what's going on in the running game. Like I said, my assessment and ranking in McCown is factoring in that Doug Martin can get back on track to the production he put out his rookie year. They also, when he was gone last year, found a couple of gems in Mike James and Bobby Rainey. So I certainly think they have some weapons around him that if he, you know, kind of plays. And that's the key. Also, I'm factoring in him playing at the level he played last year. Obviously, Vincent Jackson It's not Brandon Marshall. We know Mike Evans isn't Alshon Jeffrey. I certainly am not calling Doug Martin Matt Forte. But those skill positions there, you know, you do have some talent. I think the big question, Jerry, is going to be what's going on with the offensive line. They lost Pro Bowler Donald Penn, the free agency, and then also, goodness, Kyle Nix was a guy that they got from New Orleans a couple years, and we're expecting him to help protect, and he retired. And so, you know, I think the advantage McCown has is with Jackson and Evans being those tall receivers, he certainly has that experience. You know, last year he was passing to Marshall and Jeffrey, who are basically about the same size as him. So considering, you know, the whole all the quarterbacks available in fantasy, I think if that offense can find this rhythm, you know, he certainly has some pieces in place around him to have a successful year. But that is with a lot of optimism, as I say. You know, a lot of things have to go right. The offense has to hit on all cylinders. The new line has to protect, and they certainly have to be effective running the football.
All right. McCown, what are your thoughts on Josh McCown, the Tampa Bay Bucs quarterback? I think you were pretty high on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a whole, though. Talk to me.
Nah.
Okay.
I got a gang of respect for Lovie Smith, man. And please don't take my remarks as the remarks that I'm about to say is anything, you know, as a slight to Lovie, but I'm saying, Slum, what was he smoking when he got this? He done put his whole career on the line with this quarterback, man, a backup dude. Now he played out of his mind last year. He looked real good. But I think that had to do with the talent that was around him. You know what I'm saying? Those guys had played together for a while, Forte, Jeffries, and the other soft bama, Brandon Marshall. They played together for a little while. And Trestman, he's a very good offensive coach. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what Lovie was thinking, but this dude ain't it. I don't think he's going to have to show me. He's definitely going to have to show me. I think both of y'all's assessment was, like, real good. My man, Lance, you were so clear, man. I thought I was reading a book. Clear. But I just do not understand what Lovie was thinking about with this dude, man. I don't. Really don't. Maybe he is, you know, got him in because he trusts him and it's a stopgap. Maybe they'll draft the quarterback or something or develop Glennon. I don't know what they're doing, man. I have no idea what they're doing. But I'm surprised you got him right. I'm kind of surprised you got him right.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's move on to the number 22. If you thought about this guy at 23, then you'll be surprised. This team has turned over, I would say, completely. The center retired. I think their guard or tackle retired. Is not playing. He lost one of his primary wide receivers that went to Indianapolis. His quarterback scoring dropped it. Back-to-back years, and his touchdown count has dipped in three straight. He had a career-high 39 sacks last year and set lows in both touchdowns and touchdown passes and quarterback rating. Buddy finished as the number 21 ranked quarterback in fantasy, and Peyton's other brother from the same mother, Eli Manning, I have him ranked number 22 in my rankings in quarterback. And because of what took place in the last few years with Eli, just like Sam Bradford, he's got a new offensive not like Sam Bradford's new offensive coordinator, but just like Sam Bradford, he needs to show that he is the can play a lot better than he's been playing. So I think this is also a make or break year for Eli to improve his status as a I wouldn't say elite quarterback, but more than capable quarterback, because his play has dropped off the last 2 years at least. Talk to me, Lance.
Yeah, when it's coming to Eli Manning, I actually have him ranked 24th, so we're real close there on him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the situation with Eli Manning is, to be completely honest, if it wasn't for the two Super Bowls that he won, he would probably be looked at as just an average quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
The last year was the second time within 4 years that he threw over 25 interceptions, not 20, 25. He threw 25 interceptions back in 2010 and threw 27 interceptions last year. The 2 years prior to that, 16 and 15. So, I mean, he's a guy who's been shown, known, and that was the third time in his career he threw at least 20 interceptions. So he's always been a guy who throws a lot of interceptions. Obviously, last year the roof just fell in, period, on the Giants. And he's not with the weapons we were accustomed to him seeing. We were used to Mario Manningham and Hakeem Nicks on the outside, with Victor Cruz excelling in that slot position, along with a much, much better running game. Right now, he's working with a new offensive system, so, you know, they have to learn that. And then he's got all new skill position players, with the exception of Victor Cruz. You know, Ruben Randall's a guy who was there last year and did pretty well, but Jernigan is young. They drafted Odell Beckham Jr. from LSU. Unfortunately, he hasn't been able to get on the field due to nursing a hamstring. You got a new tight end there. You got two new running backs. And so I don't have a lot of expectation for him at all this year. He's a guy who certainly I would probably assume, unless something magical happens in the preseason, he'll be starting off the season on the waiver wire. And again, I just, you know, Jerry, I just don't see it. You know, I think this Giants offense, it doesn't look as explosive as it used to be at one time with the weapons that it had. And, you know, I think this is going to be a year for Manning that, you know, certainly I don't think he's going to put up numbers that are fantasy worthy. You know, he'll obviously have some games every now and then due to the weak division. We stress week in and week out that he's in. But overall, I think this offense is going to look to be more of a ball control, dump down type offense. And you certainly hope he can cut down on the 31 turnovers that he had last year. But I'm not high at all on Eli Manning starting this this upcoming season.
Before I get to you, Mikal, you say dump down. You were right about that because they're going to the West Coast offense, and you can see it in the play that they had, the plays that they were running in the first two preseason games, the Hall of Fame game and the game they just played. They're going to be using the running back a lot in short plays, a la Roger Craig type of thing in the West Coast offense. So Eli he does like to throw the ball down the field, even though he at times gets too crazy with that and that had the result of with all the interceptions you're talking about. But you're right. I don't think he's possibly roster worthy. And he's probably going to be sitting on a lot of waiver wires. Mikal, your thoughts on one of your division rival quarterbacks, Eli?
Let me say this about my man Eli and his quarterbacking for the Giants.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Look. Eli has got to be like the weirdest quarterback ever. Like, He looks like the dude, if you ask him a question, you're like, Eli, how many touchdowns do you think you're going to throw this year? I just don't understand Eli. I mean, the way he approaches the game, the way he throws in the game, I just don't get it. I never saw the magic. You know what I mean? And it took me about 7 years to get Brady, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have yet to get this kid. I don't see it. I have seen an average quarterback. Them two shiners he got, I gotta respect that. You know what I'm saying? But one of them, I mean, the dude caught the ball on his helmet. I mean, seriously? Really? Really, Slim? Caught the ball on his helmet? Really?
I just don't
I really don't see it, you know. And I never really paid attention to all of the interceptions that he's been throwing the past, you know, 3 years till you guys just, you know, really brought it up. And I was like, yeah, he has been throwing a rack of interceptions. You know, D'Angelo Hall, I mean, we always know when we play him, we good for at least one, maybe two, you know what I'm saying, in the game. We know that off the break. So I would not draft Eli Manning. I mean, I would not even pick him up at all on my fantasy team. He's another one I'm kind of surprised. You got him ranked for him. I'm kind of surprised.
Well, when I give you the list of the quarterbacks that aren't ranked, maybe one or two of those could be put in here, but I would say Eli is probably better than some of these guys. But we'll see after we go through
okay.
My top 24 right. And also Lance's top 24, that he may have someone on the list that I don't have on the list and vice versa. Anyway, Eli is ranked number 22, and the next guy, who's number 21, is right in the area from a city that you do not like. He's got a new offensive coordinator. He's got a new wide receiver coming from Carolina. He's got a new the offensive coordinator has also brought his tight end that he had over with the Houston Texans. He's going to have his number one running back suspended for just two games with the incident that took place down in Atlantic City. And he had a tight end that just signed a new five-year deal worth $32.5 million. With all those hints, you guys know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Joe Cool, who won a Super Bowl a couple years back. And supposedly, he's going undergoing a technical and fundamental transformation, and he's getting the ball out quicker, and he's entering his age of 29. He's a young guy, 29. And like I said, it's a new offense, Gary Kubiak type of offense with his own read in the running game. With a tight end heavy or tight end friendly offense, Joe Flacco is number 21, and he's got to have a bounce back year. His years weren't that too good last year. Quite naturally, he didn't have his BFF, which is Dennis Pitta, for beginning to the end of the year. He had him, I think, near the end of the year when Pitta came back from an injury. So Joe Flacco is my number 21 rated quarterback. Lance, talk to me, my man.
Sure, Jerry. Same. We got him pretty close. I have him rated 23, just ahead of Eli Manning. And when I look at Joe Flacco, same thing. I think he's a quarterback who will start off the season on the free agent wire or definitely as a backup. Flacco really has never been a big-time producer when it comes to fantasy football. His best year, 2010, when he threw for 25 TDs and 10 interceptions. The last 3 years, 20 touchdown passes, 22 touchdown passes, and then 19 touchdown passes last year, obviously versus the 22 interceptions. And so Flacco's never been a guy to put up big numbers. He's more of a spot play. You know, you'll see maybe three or four times out the year, you know, he'll throw, 330 yards, three TDs or so, and be good for that week. Now, I certainly think that he's in a much better position preparation-wise. I think the Ravens kind of got blindsided last year. They knew the huge roster turnover that they had from the year before, which included losing some key players on the offensive line and at the wide receiver with Bolden leaving. And without that running game working last year, he more or less got forced into passing, a career-high 614 pass attempts. And so this year, like you said, they brought in a new coordinator, but he certainly has better weapons. You know, I certainly couldn't hold him accountable to a certain degree. Last year it was pretty much Torrey Smith and Marlon Brown. That was it. Pitta was out. Ed Dixon didn't do much. Jacoby Jones went down early. So I think this year with Torrey Smith, healthy Jacoby Jones, Steve Smith coming over from the Panthers. We all know that Smith certainly is not the player that he used to be, but now that he's not in the number one wide receiver on this team, he won't draw all the coverage, and Pitta's back in the equation. And so I certainly think that Flacco has and then Marlon Brown in his second year. So I certainly think Flacco has more weapons at his disposal. And like I said, coming into the season, I think he's a little bit more prepared from jump street to shoulder some of the load. But certainly a guy, again, I wouldn't be drafting in my lineup to start the season because he's never been a guy to put up fantasy numbers, especially to be the starting quarterback on your football team.
Okay. Talk to me, Macau. Joe Flacco, one of your favorite quarterbacks down where you live.
I am high on Flacco, man.
Really?
Yes, man. I'm telling you, this year you got Kubiak down there now. There's a shift in Baltimore's philosophy. It's a slight shift. They're not going to be so much defensively focused. They're going to be more balanced now. They have to be because Flacco is the centerpiece now. They've got to build around him. So that's why you see the coordinator coming in now. And Kubiak's going to get some. He's going to get something good out of him. I expect for him to have at least 20 plus touchdowns this year, with about 9 to 12 INTs. He should be really good this year, man. I would definitely draft him. I would keep him on the backup, bring him in. But he's going to have a good year this year. He's going to have a really, really good year this year.
So you think that Joe Flacco, from what I'm hearing, is a value pick?
He's a value pick. He is a steal. He is a steal. If he's sitting on a waiver wire like he was last year, you need to snatch him up and stash him somewhere. He's going to have a good year this year. He's going to have a really good year this year.
Wow, that's a surprise. That's a real surprise to me. But okay.
Yeah, you know I don't like Baltimore, neither.
I know that. That's why I'm really surprised about that. Anyway, let's go from the DMV area down to the down west, or out west, I should say, to a guy that's now in his second year in a Bruce Arians offense, who threw for over 4,000 yards, and I think he did it in back-to-back seasons now, if I'm not mistaken about that, and who's got some very good weapons on the outside in Larry Fitzgerald and Michael Floyd, who's got an emerging running back in Andre Ellington, and also who's got and I think he's going to be a surprise, but we're going to be talking about wide receivers next week, and with a rookie that spent time at that got invited to Carson Palmer's house to spend time to get some to get to know each other, quarterback to wide receiver, I'm talking about John Brown, who played very well. I have to say, in this Cardinals and Texans game last night, I'm talking about Carson Palmer. Seems like he's a perfect fit for the Bruce Arians offense because he likes to throw the ball down the field, and Bruce Arians likes to do that a lot. And with Tom Moore and Bruce Arians as quote-unquote quarterback group gurus, even though Carson Palmer is 34, I think he went to a perfect position in his career, a perfect place to say, in his career to excel and to show the talents that he has, or people always thought he had when he was in Cincinnati. And for whatever circumstances, Cincinnati and at Oakland, he, in my opinion, made a resurgence in his career. So even though I have him ranked number 20, I can see him moving up the board a lot higher than that throughout the year. But for now, I have him ranked number 20, Carson Palmer from the Arizona Cardinals. Lance.
Sure. Jerry, I have him rated a little bit higher at 17.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with Carson Palmer, and it's probably going to be a theme you'll hear with me with a lot of these quarterbacks, is he just needs to cut down on turnovers.
Yeah.
Over the past 4 years, 20 interceptions, 16 interceptions, 14 interceptions, and last year, last year we loved the 4,274 yards and 24 TDs, but the 22 interceptions and the 6 fumbles killed him. And so, he's not a mobile quarterback, can definitely be a statue back there sometimes. And also with Palmer, they play all these quarterbacks in the NFC West. You have to take into consideration you're going to be having about 6 games a year where the numbers could be a little bit on the low side, because at least coming into the year, the NFC West had 4 defenses in the top 10. Certainly like his weapons, Fitzgerald on the outside. You mentioned Michael Floyd. Really has been making progress every year, had his first 1,000-yard season. You mentioned Ellington, and then they brought in Ted Ginn Jr. From Carolina, the fill
right.
for Andre Roberts, who left for the Redskins, to try to give them a vertical threat, stretch the field, something they haven't had in quite a long time. And so, I think what Carson can do from a number standpoint, the Cardinals somehow, some way, end up passing the ball a lot, which allows him to pad his stats. But he's got to cut down on the turnovers, and that is the part that I am optimistic on with him. So if he can keep those, interceptions down and, cut down some of those fumbles, losing some of those fumbles, he's certainly a quarterback who will be worth starting some weeks. But as far as the starters go, I'm not quite sold. He's kind of like at the tail end of my starting quarterbacks. I still think starting off the season, he's a guy that I would certainly want on my roster. As a backup, but certainly not as a starter until I can really see him cut down on some of those turnovers.
Okay. McCall, Carson Palmer.
I can't believe that dude is 34 years old, man. It seemed like yesterday he won the trophy and was playing for Cincinnati. Oh, my goodness. But I just don't know. I just don't know with this dude, man. I really don't know. I like Bruce Arians, and for the most part, the Cardinals are on an upswing right about now. And they had one year playing in this system or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, Larry Fitzgerald, he's in there. Floyd's in there. There's no way to go for him but up, right? But it's them turnovers, man. It's them turnovers. He will throw an interception at the wrong time. Him and Eli are about in the same boat, which is crazy to me because I think he's got more talent than Eli. I really do think he has more talent, but they do the same thing. Same thing. You can bank on an interception from Carson Palmer in the game. Bank on that. But I don't know if I'd take him as a starter, man. I don't know. I trade him to Victor. Victor take him.
Okay. Let's go to number 19. Where am I at here? Is that right? Did I miss him? Yeah, I did miss him. Okay. Let's go to number 19 go to... down south, okay? Second year as a quarterback, he doubled his touchdowns. He improved his completion rate and yardage, even though he was playing under one of the worst OCs in Mike Sherman that you can see. When they had the worst pass protection in the league, he had an NFL-high 58 sacks because the OC – consistently decided to pass first instead of trying to establish the run. So quite naturally, they fired the GM, which I thought they should have done two seasons ago, and the OC, Mike Sherman, brought in Eagles quarterback coach Bill Lazor from that Chip Kelly type of offense, which is going to incorporate a high-tempo offense, and is going to help this guy quite a bit, because it's worth noting, and this is something I just didn't really think about, but this guy has made a marked improvement as just being the fourth year as a full-time quarterback after playing wide receiver for most of his college career. He's got a lot of room for growth. I'm talking about Ryan Tannehill, if you guys don't know. This past Friday, he was 6-for-6 for 62 yards and a touchdown in the preseason opener. I think I know they said they still have to work on it more, but Mike Wallace, who's the number one wide receiver, is going to be a threat. I think Rashard Matthews and Brandon Gibson are going to gather more of a rapport with Ryan Tannehill, along with the running game. And when we get to running backs, which will be in about a couple weeks, we'll talk about the running backs in Miami, but I'll hit it briefly. They got Noshar Marina, which I'm really not too high on. They got Daniel Thomas, which I'm definitely not too high on. I like this kid last year. I think it may have been a circumstances of the offense that was running last year. I think he's got more ability than a lot of people are thinking. I like Lamar Miller in the LeSean McCoy type of offense. And I think he's going to be playing a lot better, and he's going to probably be a sleeper pick for a lot of people. But I think Ryan Tannehill is going to be a player to watch, and I have him ranked number 19. Talk to me, Lance.
Yep, sure thing, Jerry. Very good there. I actually have Tannehill ranked at 19 myself, and so we're both dead on as far as our feelings about him. Tannehill certainly is a guy who, if it weren't for the 17 interceptions that he had last year, his numbers would have looked a whole lot better. He had 24 TD passes. Threw for 3,913 yards, but like I said, the offset to that is you have 24 TD passes, but then you come back with 17 interceptions and 6 fumbles.
Right.
And
right.
So the turnovers, you know, end up biting him. And same thing, you know, Tannehill, it's going to be interesting to see, like you said, Jerry, doubled his production from last year. Obviously, he's more familiar with the offense. The main thing that I'm looking for here, which would have also bolstered his numbers last year, were the fact that him and Mike Wallace could not connect on at least a handful of deep balls. You know,
right.
I've seen at least 5 times last year where Mike Wallace had coverage beat and Tannehill overthrows him or throws a ball out of bounds somewhere where Wallace can't catch it. So
right.
I certainly think that if them two can get the chemistry and get that deep ball connecting, Tannehill is another player who, considering what's ahead of him on the board, I certainly wouldn't have him in as a starter. But you certainly want to watch how he progresses. And, again, I think he's another guy who's going to end up being a solid backup in certain situations. You know, the AFC East, they have some pretty tough defenses there. So I certainly would probably look over his schedule and pick my spots with him because the Dolphins are thin at wide receiver. You know, Mike Wallace, a guy who's known every now and then to have a hammy kind of flare-up on him, which is the case right now in preseason. I like Brian Hartline at the other wide receiver. He's a real solid number two. I love what Charles Clay does in the middle of the field. I think Matthews is stepping up and emerging as that number three receiver. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, like you mentioned, they have a brand-new offensive coordinator. And I just think it's going to take a little while for that offense to gel, like you said, to see Lamar Miller, if they're going to establish him on the ground. Moreno will be coming around sometime when he gets off injury. But when I just look at the pieces that Tannehill has to work with, I'm not consoled on him as a starting quarterback for my fantasy team. I still think there's too many good options ahead of him, but certainly worth looking at as a solid backup in certain matchups. And, again, if he can, you know, rid those turnovers, his numbers would certainly look a whole lot better and be more fantasy relevant.
Okay. Macau. Ryan Tannehill.
I like Ryan Tannehill. However, I can't stand his coach. I don't understand how this dude is still coaching, man. Florida had two of the worst coaches in the world coaching down there. Now they only got one. And they keep the worst one. The worst one. Oh my goodness. I would not draft this dude because this team is going to find a way to blow up again. Because this dude can't coach, man. He cannot coach. It's going to show up someplace else. You know what I mean? I don't know where because, honestly, I don't know where that offensive line nonsense came from. That was just, like, unreal. But, I mean, I feel kind of bad for Tannehill because, you know, he's got the promise. You know what I mean? Some dudes just have that it thing. He's got it. But he needs, you know, somebody to be around him to develop him. I don't know if Lazor's that guy or not. It remains to be seen, but I wouldn't roll the dice on it at all. No. Mm-mm. They need to replace that coach, man. Get him out of here.
Okay. Let's move on to that, and I know I'm going to get some flack for this one. But I have this guy rated number 18. Andy Reid did a masterful job working this guy for the first season, and over the course of the year, building him up. He had career highs in passing touchdowns and rushing. He was the number 16th fantasy quarterback. Even though he lost his left tackle, his right guard, and offensive guard also, they left for greener pastures. He did pick up, but he got back a tight end I think is going to be a surprise. And Travis Kelce, along with the pass catchers and Dwayne Bowe and Donnie Avery and Anthony Fasano, which quite naturally when you hear those names, none of them really strike a fear in any kind of offense. Smith, who's 30, is entering, I'm talking about Alex Smith, is going to be 30 in entering his contract year. They haven't signed him. He's still thinking he's all that and more. But he could walk after this year. But Andy Reid has a way of getting the best out of a quarterback ability. He's another one of these coaches that I would say he's a quarterback whisperer along the lines of Arians or Tom Moore. But he's a very capable coach to getting the most out of a quarterback and limiting the opportunities that a quarterback who has shortfalls can be exposed. So, Lance, talk to me. I know I'm probably going to hear from you about this one, but I got him number 18, Alex Smith.
Sure thing, Jerry. I actually have Smith down at 22. I will say this about Alex Smith. I have to give this guy his credit. He was certainly a guy that I certainly felt was more of a game manager situation when he left out of San Francisco and came over to Kansas City. The main thing being, he wasn't asked to do a lot. You know, the last full season he played in San Francisco, only 17 TD passes, 5 interceptions. But we know the 17 TD passes, certainly not fantasy worthy. 2012 obviously got ousted for Kaepernick when he went down at that time. He played 10 games, only 13 TD passes, not anything fantasy relevant. So he certainly wasn't a guy coming in last year who was expected to do a lot, especially when you looked at the weapons that Kansas City offers, which is basically nothing, especially since Dwayne Bowe's play has just disappeared off the face of the earth, and for what explanation I would certainly like to find out one day, you know, how you go from leading the NFL in touchdown catches and just the next 2 years you fall off the face of the earth. So especially if Bowe isn't available, Smith is another guy. I think he maximized on his opportunities And he's a guy who I think the flip side of the coin is what I see with him, Jerry, is that even though he may not put up a ton of big numbers, the fact that he comes out and seven interceptions, I mean, that's a lot of games where he's not throwing any interceptions. So, you know, he may only come out and pass for 240 yards, two TDs with no interception and give you about 30 yards on the ground, and he ends up with 20 points. And so, you know, the Chiefs, I think overall last year was an aberration for their ball club. I certainly don't expect them to be a 13-3, 12-4 ball club again. We know that Jamaal Charles is definitely the, you know, the workhorse for that offense. So that proved well. And it's more of a dink and dump. Same thing, you know, West Coast, like you said, Andy Reid, dink and dump type offense. I'm just not sold on the weapons. You know, I'm looking at the roster. You got Dwayne Bowe and Donnie Avery. I mean, those are your two starting wide receivers. The backups,
right.
we've never heard of either one of their backups. Anthony Fasano, you know, he's older. He's a decent tight end. So, I mean, just based on that, I will say I did see, DeAnthony Thomas take a punt back in the preseason game the other day. I don't know if he'll be stepping in and maybe trying to take Dexter McCluster's spot. But they just don't have any real explosion in their passing game. They don't have any big-time threats. And like I said, especially if Bo is not going to get back to the Pro Bowl level, we've seen him play at a couple years. I just think Alex Smith is another guy where it's a game-by-game scenario. You know, he's more of a matchup play, not a starter, because the Chiefs just are not a team whose offensive philosophy really allows for any quarterback to be putting up a ton of big numbers. So as much as I like what Smith does with overall stats in the season, when it comes to fantasy football, he's still a guy who I'm looking at as a backup in the spot play.
You said it a couple of times. You said it right. He's still a guy. He's a guy. That's basically what Alex Smith is, a guy. And supposedly Dwayne Bowe has lost weight and is quicker and lighter. And I guess he wants to prove that he still has it. Well, we'll have to wait and see about that. Macau.
Jerry, I can't believe you said something, Slim. You said that Andy Reid isn't a quarterback whisperer on the level of Arians. Are you serious? Are you serious? Dude, I don't like Andy Reid. I mean, for the simple fact that he just, it was like he was making quarterbacks up there in Philly, man. McNabb, Cobb, Foles, and then revitalize Michael Vick. Come on, man. And then look at, I mean, this last year was a combination of Andy Reid's coaching and I'm talking about Alex Smith's year. Combination of Andy Reid's coaching and Alex Smith just not hurting the team, you know, being a good game manager. I thought that was, you know, a really good mix. But I agree with Lance that it's not going to happen like that again. I mean, it's they can't do, if they do that again, I'll just run around DC buck naked, man. Good great. 13-3? Seriously? Nah, man, I don't see that. But he is going to get the best out of him. He definitely is going to get the best out of him. I don't know if I draft him, but, you know, he wouldn't hurt you, but he wouldn't help you neither. You know, he'd give you consistent numbers, but I don't know if I'd have him on my roster. Maybe I'll trade him to Victor. He'll take him.
Well, I mean, these group of quarterbacks, in my opinion, from about where we're at now, 18, 19, to about 12 or 13, I should say, are, in my opinion, are bye week replacements. You can put these guys in if you have a starting quarterback that's playing consistently, and you only need him for 1 week. Hopefully the matchup that he has is a good matchup. But for the most part, these guys, probably because they're 18, 19, around there, are basically guys, if your quarterback gets hurt, you may have this guy on your bench and put him in there, or like I said, a bye week replacement, and just for the 1 week and to get something out of him. Starting.
I totally agree.
Okay. All right, let's move up to number 17. The Red Rifle lost his OC, his offensive coordinator, Jay Gruden, to the Washington Redskins, who went there to greener pastures as the head coach, and got lost a pass-friendly OC to a run-friendly OC in Hugh Jackson. And he emphasized he's going to be running the ball quite a bit. So that's going to be a good thing for the running backs that are coming out of Cincinnati, and maybe possibly a good thing for Andy Dalton, because they want to cut down on the amount of interceptions, which he was ranked fifth in NFL interceptions last year, and make it more run-based, which may hurt A.J. Green and company. But Andy Dalton is going to be the number 17th ranked quarterback with sleeper potential, because the fact is they're going to be a little bit more conservative, a lot more conservative, and they're going to pick and choose the spots Andy Dalton is going to be slinging the football versus Jay Gruden and his pass-happy offense. Talk to me, Lance, about Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle.
Sure, Jerry. I have Dalton slated in at 14 on my list. And same thing, turnovers, especially costly turnovers, is the name of the game with Dalton. Look, as far as the weapons that he has around him, I love him. We all know what A.J. Green can do. Muhammad Sanu, he has Muhammad Sanu, who's a pretty good wide receiver for what he's asked to do with that team. The guy I really like and who I hope they make the right decision and start this year in front of Sanu, because he certainly showed last year he's capable, is Marvin Jones.
Yeah.
I think Jones is certainly an underestimated player in his limited time last year. Had 10 TD receptions. Him and Dalton seem to have good rapport, and I really like what Jones can do with the ball after the catch. So I like what he has at wide receiver. Has two good tight ends. Jermaine Gresham is a guy whose play has never reached what we thought it would be seeing him come out of University of Oklahoma. You know, certainly has had trouble holding on to the football, but still is able to make plays in the passing game. Tyler Eifert obviously has more upside and I think is on his way to becoming a starter in the next year or two. And then we know that Giovanni Bernard can catch the ball out of the backfield and is very explosive in the open field. So I think with Dalton, like you said, number one, anytime there's a new offensive coordinator, you certainly got to watch and see what type of game plan is going to get brought to the table. And that offensive line, I'm not too sold on. That was a big reason for some of Dalton's mistakes and interceptions. That offensive line has to do a better job of allowing Cincinnati to run a ball more consistently, which, like you said, I'm quite sure with Jackson there as the coordinator will be more of an emphasis. But certainly pass protection, the Cincinnati Bengals offensive line was not able to hold up a lot. And then you couple some of that with just poor decisions and poor passing by Dalton. Dalton's another guy, if you look over his stats from last year, a lot of games where he could have scored 20 to 25 points. Man, a couple interceptions and a lost fumble, and he's down to 14 or 15 points, you know, taken away from a potential good day. So, you know, I still think that he certainly needs to be considered as a starter, looking at the numbers that he's put up the last couple years. But he's definitely a guy that inconsistent, you know. He'll have a good game on some days that you wouldn't expect it based on the matchup, and then other games based on the matchup. He should have a good game. He doesn't fare too well. So he's certainly a quarterback that I'm kind of like sitting on the fence with. Could be a starter, but based on his body of work in regards to those turnovers and the new coordinator, probably not. I definitely think as a backup, you can't go wrong with him. but he's another guy as well to factor in. That division he plays in, very tough defenses with Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and the Cleveland Browns, who seem to always give A.J. Green, his top target, a little bit of trouble. So.
All right, then, Mikal, talk to me. We're talking about the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton.
This dude is toxic, man. Stay away, man. Seriously, this dude is toxic. He's really, really toxic. I mean, you got Hugh Jackson coming down there. You know, he gonna emphasize the running game more so. And, you know, and this is no slight on Hugh, but I've never been impressed with his, you know, his passing. You know, his passing offenses. I've never had. Absolutely not. Andy needs that system. He gonna miss Jake Gruden real bad, man. Real, real bad. I'd stay the hell away from this dude. Seriously.
Okay.
I just wanted to chip in real quick, Jerry, too. Another thing that hurts Dalton as well is he doesn't have the arm strength.
Right.
I don't know on how many occasions I'm seeing A.J. Green got a defender beat by 5 to 7 yards, and he's got to slow up to catch this underthrown ball by Dalton, which ends up being a 50-yard catch instead of a 65-yard TD. So I think that's something that hurts Dalton as well. He does not have the arm strength to accommodate the great route running by A.J. Green.
Hey, Jerry, okay. I like this dude. You had to keep him.
Oh, he's a keeper. He's a keeper.
You got to keep him. Yeah, I like him. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a keeper. Absolutely. Anyway, I told him the first time he jumped on here, you got a home here. So, we got a good rapport. This is, the second, third time we've been on the air? Is that right, Lance?
Yes. Third show.
Yeah.
Third show.
Yeah, third show, yeah. Anyway, let's move on to, we're going to stay in the same conference. I mean, division, I should say. We're going to stay in the same division. And this guy helped me win a championship last year. I love this guy, and he's underrated, and most guys don't think too much of this guy. He lost Jericho Cotchery, Emmanuel Sanders, but they picked up in 2013 Marcus Wheaton. They picked up Martavis Bryant this year in the fourth round. He's got a BFF. A lot of these guys, a lot of these good quarterbacks have a BFF, especially a tight end, and Heath Miller, who came back in the late part of last year and played relatively well. He's going to be that much more healthier in here. They made a commitment to the North Florida offense the greater part of the last season and finished 6-3. And in that span, he was the number four overall quarterback scorer in those nine games. Todd Haley is going to let Ben Roethlisberger play aggressively so long as he doesn't hold on to the football. They're going to go more to the no-huddle, even more this year, with more control with Ben at the line of scrimmage. They got an outstanding, in my opinion, one of the best running backs in the league, in Le'Veon Bell. An up-and-coming rising star in Le'Veon Bell. They got Antonio Brown, who I raved about last year, extremely raved about him, and he turned out to be just what I thought he would be. And then he got these young boys, Marcus Wheaton, Martavis Bryant, on the offensive side with Big Ben, slinging the ball, who has no problem throwing the ball downfield. I like Big Ben. He's at 16 right now, but I can easily see he could possibly be in the top 10, top 12. Big Ben Roethlisberger, talk to me, Lance.
Surprised you have him. Well, you know what? No, I think 16. I would say that, you know what, 16 is probably as high as I would go on Roethlisberger. I actually have him at 21 on my board. I'm surprised to hear you say you still think there's room for improvement all the way up to a top 10 quarterback.
Yep.
My issue with Roethlisberger is certainly not his ability. Roethlisberger to me has proven that he is he's a big time playmaker, definitely clutch. I love what Big Ben brings to the table. I think he's a guy who, if he had better weapons around him, along with you know, the Steeler offensive identity being passing, there's no doubt to me that he can put up the numbers. But with that being said, and you know what, and I'm going to tell you about Roethlisberger, he's a sneaky play. He's not a guy known, you know, when you think about Pittsburgh, the first thing you think about is that vaunted defense, even though, it's, you know, that's kind of a couple years ago, but the stain is still in your mind. When you think about Pittsburgh, you think about a dominating defense, you think about a running game, and then you think about Roethlisberger and what he does in the air. And he's another guy who, as much as that's supposed to be the team's identity, somehow, some way, you look up every few weeks and you see Roethlisberger 330 yards, 3 touchdown passes. So I still think that Roethlisberger is a, without question, a very solid backup. 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 2012. 28 touchdowns, 14 interceptions last year. So, like I said, very sneaky. You know, he'll go under the radar without you noticing him. But the main reason I have him at 21 on my board is the Steelers have been adamant about wanting to get back to that ground game. Outside of Le'Veon Bell, who I'm high on too, they brought in LeGarrette Blount from New England. And so you got two bruising running backs there. I know they want to definitely get back to running the ball because their receiving core doesn't have a lot of experience. You mentioned Antonio Brown. They lost Emmanuel Sanders and then Mike Wallace the year before. So Marcus Wheaton is only in his second year. Lance Moore, they brought over from the Saints. Moore, you know, obviously not a stud player by any means, but certainly a good route runner. We know that Roethlisberger knows how to get the ball to the open guy. I think Moore coming good and being a third down guy in scramble situations. Heath Miller, still one of his top targets. He's getting a little older now. And so when I just look at the weapons that Roethlisberger has, you mentioned Bryant, I just don't see the weapons in the passing game. Now, Dre Archer is a guy that I didn't mention. They're planning on using him in the Brandon Cooks, Darren Sproles, you know, Percy Harvin type role, just getting him the ball any way they can. So that certainly would include some screens, some swing passes, things of that nature. But I just don't see, from what I'm seeing on paper right now, that the Steelers are looking to be a ball club who's going to pass the ball a whole lot, which, you know, like I said, only kind of hinders Roethlisberger to being a spot start. And then, again, a very tough division there with Cincinnati, the Ravens, and Cleveland's defense. You have to play a couple times a year.
Mikal, Big Ben.
Yeah, I like watching Big Ben play the game or whatever. I really do. I really enjoy him. But I just don't know if his stats are there for me to be, you know, it would be an emotional pickup if I got him. Because I don't know how his stats are in fantasy. I really don't. I never had the opportunity to pick him up in, you know, when I played fantasy. But I don't know if I would get him, man. I really don't.
The thing about this, in a Todd Haley type of offense, the quarterback play is key. And if Todd Haley has enough confidence, and apparently he did because they were 6-3 in the last 9 games that they played last year, and everybody knows in Pittsburgh that they had a plethora of issues early on in the season before they got themselves rolling. And I think that had to do with a various amount of things, including the rapport between the quarterback and the offensive coordinator, which apparently got straightened out in the last 9 games, and the handcuffs were taken off Big Ben. 6-3 in the last 9 games. I can see them only expanding from that this year. Like I said, with more control that Ben has at the line of scrimmage and Todd Haley letting him do those things and have a quicker tempo of offense, meaning opportunities to make more explosive plays along with in the running game and in the passing game. And like you said, Lance, he flies under the radar, and that's one of the reasons why I picked him up and had him for a greater part of last year, and it helped me win a championship for the simple fact is that they picked up the tempo and they used more explosive plays to win games because of the shortfalls of their older defense that they had last year. So I'm thinking the same thing that's going to happen this year, but expanded more, that tempo is going to be high tempo, which a lot of teams are doing, and which is the copycat league, everybody knows, and these offenses are trying to offset the defense by being high tempo, so the defenses can't adjust quick enough to the high tempo type of offense. I like big men a lot, I wouldn't hesitate to wait on a quarterback and gather other pieces and pick up Big Ben, because a lot of people have the same mindset that Lance is talking about. He flies under the radar. They don't think too much of him. They think of other things other than Pittsburgh, and he's like the last option, offensive option in the quarterback. And that I can take advantage of that and use him as my starting quarterback, which I have. Anyway, let's move on to the number 15, which I think Lance will like this guy. He picked up Stevie Johnson, number one wide receiver from Buffalo. He picked up Brandon Lloyd, who's a capable veteran, as another wide receiver. Unfortunately, they lost Navarro Bowman. He's on the defensive side of the ball. Michael Crabtree is going to be healthy for the whole part of the year. He's got another weapon in Antoine Bolden, a wily veteran, and a great tight end in Vernon Davis. I like Colin Kaepernick because he's a dual threat. Rushing, quite naturally, he's a hell of a rusher. He's one of the better rushing quarterbacks and smarter running quarterbacks than a lot of these guys, and he's got a bazooka for an arm. So so he had no problem getting the ball down the field to his targets. His favorite target, quite naturally, everybody knows, is Michael Crabtree. But he's got more guys to throw to, and if the defense is worse than it was in the past years, Jim Harbaugh is going to have to open up the offense, and that includes Colin Kaepernick making plays. Talk to me, Lance.
I'm surprised you have him. I don't want to say that low, because I have, after my top five rated quarterbacks, the next quarterbacks, 6 through 14, obviously are interchangeable. You know, you're talking about a touchdown here, you know, a couple running yards there. So you know, I certainly think that the guys that I have in that second tier of quarterbacks, despite how I have them ranked, are interchangeable. But I have Kaepernick ranked at number six. I think that this year is going to be a huge year for him. If you look at what San Francisco is bringing to the table starting the year off, he's in a huge position to succeed. Now, last year when he was basically playing the whole season with Jeff Anquan Bolden and Vernon Davis, he had 3,200 passing yards with 21 TDs and 8 interceptions. And then gave you another 524 yards and 4 TDs on the ground, and that was off year. I wasn't too pleased with Kaepernick's performance through the air, but when you factor in the upside now that he has this year coming in, they're fully loaded on offense. They got a healthy Michael Crabtree, which is gonna pay big dividends. We haven't been able to see Kaepernick and Crabtree on the field together enough. But they're one of the best 1-2 punches in the league. Crabtree, when healthy, has certainly made that offense more powerful and explosive. Bolden certainly showed he's got gas left in the tank, big-time possession receiver, and in the red zone. Like you said, they brought over Stevie Johnson from the Bills. He was the number one option over there, just battled with some injuries. But he'll come in now, so you got three legitimate options at wide receiver. You still have Vernon Davis. And so when you're looking at the option he has passing the football, they still have one of the better running attacks in the league. And then you mentioned Bowman being injured. The 49ers defense coming into the season is not going to be as vaunted as we have seen it in past years. They're going to be without Bowman. They're going to be some time without Aldon Smith. A couple of their cornerbacks, Carlos Rogers and Terrell Brown, are no longer with the team. So I think that on the defensive side of the football, they're not going to be as tough as we've seen them be. And so I think the identity is changing a little bit here in San Francisco. They have been relying on that stout defense for so many years and kind of keeping it to more of a ball control. I think this year they're going to be relying more on the offense to put up some points. And I think their offense is going to be on the field a little more. So I think Kaepernick is going to have a big-time year. And I think, you know, due to his stats last year, he may fly under the radar. But when you look at what the weapons he has around him on offense, I think Colin Kaepernick is going to have a huge year in fantasy football and definitely be a quarterback that you can pick up under the radar, and is going to be a legitimate starter, like I said, with the exception of maybe some of those tough NFC West matchups.
Okay. Well, I got him circled here because that's a big difference between you and I in the ranking. So I got him circled here, and I'm going to keep notice and see where we're at with that. Macau, talk to me, man.
Jerry, I'm surprised at you, man.
Okay.
I mean, this dude does something that you like. He rushes the ball.
Yeah, he does.
He runs the ball. You know what I mean? He's a quarterback that he should be like one of the first quarterbacks you take. Cam, you know what I'm saying, and little youngin out in Seattle. They should be the first ones off the ball because they are threat to get you 50 yards rushing every game. They are threat to get you 50 yards every game, definitely. And they don't hurt you that bad. Kaepernick doesn't hurt you that bad. He doesn't throw. He doesn't turn over the ball that much, you know. He would be like real high for me. If I was to rank, yeah, I would have him at least in the top three as far as fantasy. At least.
Wow. Really? Really?
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. No, finish your assessment. I'm sorry. I shouldn't interrupt you. Finish your assessment.
I was just saying that he gives you that threat. He's a threat to put up 50 rushing yards for a quarterback every game. And with the tools that he has, Anquan and Richard Sherman's Biop. What's
his name?
He's got the tools to succeed. You know, he really does. So I mean, I would really snatch him up. I would snatch him up quickly.
Just for your reference, Lance is out on the West Coast, and this happens to be his team, the San Francisco 49ers. So,
you know what, though? I love the reference, though, there, because Sherman has definitely been riding this guy. And, you know, Sherman, I could tell he's cut from our texture of cloth. Look, when you got an upper hand on the guy, you got to rub in his face, you know, no matter what Kraft tries to say, he can't say nothing. And when you got somebody in that position, you know, you can tee off on him at any time, so.
he did that thing straight West Coast on him. But you know what I liked about what he did, he didn't instigate it. But everybody giving him this instigator, he did not instigate that. He did not. He ended it. And he ended it strongly. Oh, my goodness. That was like the best. Dude, I was jumping out of my sofa that game. I was like, oh, my God. Then he came on and talked trash about it. And it's like he scared America. I'm not going to say what. He scared the living daylights out of America. And I was like, man. Back to the quarterback, man. He definitely is top three in my book. I was back immediately. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Right after I get my two running backs, I'm going for him. Directly to him.
Okay. We'll see. I will admit that he is not he takes care of the football, okay? And he does take care of the football, and he's very very mobile, and he's extremely smart, one of the smarter runners running quarterbacks, or mobile quarterbacks, I should say, not running. Anyway,
let's
move on, because the fact we got 14 more guys, and then a couple of guys that I left off, I know we're going to talk about too. So number 14, out on the West Coast again. He plays for the Bolts, meaning the San Diego Chargers. He's under the tutelage of Mike McCoy, who happens to be another good coach for quarterbacks, and resurrected Philip Rivers' career. Rivers, who's 32, he picked up Donald Brown as a to reinforce the running game. They have an emerging tight end in Ladarius Green that we talked about last week. And we'll have to wait and see how that's going to shake out, because Ladarius Green is definitely a guy on the radar, but he has a guy in front of him who's a mainstay for Philip Rivers and Antonio Gates. But Philip Rivers, I have him rated number 14 with a weapon, second-year weapon in Keenan Allen, and another year under Mike McCoy and his offense. I see Philip Rivers having another consistent year, and I'll give it to Lance.
I like Philip Rivers a lot. I'm certainly going to give Rivers the benefit of the doubt when looking at his body of work and when his production took a hit. Look, Rivers has certainly shown that he is a starting quarterback in fantasy football. He came out last year, put up tremendous numbers. When you look at what Philip Rivers did in his career and how he got to that elite status and kind of was right there at one time, kind of being having a body of work to be at least mentioned close to the top quarterbacks, Brady, Manning, Breeze, those guys at one time, was that he had a 3-year stretch there where he put up 34 TDs, 11 picks, 28 TDs, 9 picks, 30 TDs, 13 picks. It was during that stretch that he really, got his name on the map, and we really looked at him. The 1 year that he had off, he lost a lot of production in 2011 when his numbers took a huge hit and he threw those 20 interceptions and had 7 fumbles to offset the 27 TDs that he threw. He was without Darren Sproles. He was without Vincent Jackson. Antonio Gates missed the second half of the season. And so, when you lose the weapons that you're accustomed to having, that safety blanket in Sproles, your big-time threat in Jackson, and then they also had some offensive line issues. They couldn't protect him. That's when his production took a hit. In 2012, he came back with 26 TDs, 15 interceptions, but 13 fumbles. And so when you're seeing those high number of turnovers, they had offensive line issues, and he didn't have the same weapons. Well, what happens last year? They go out and draft DJ Fluker, comes in, pays big dividends immediately, helping that front line. And what you've seen was Phillip Rivers being able to not get hit as much and get time to throw the football. You couple that with Keenan Allen emerge to basically be as Vincent Jackson. They brought in Danny Woodhead, who played that same role that you've seen that Darren Sproles was in. They got Ryan Matthews was finally able to stay on the field for at least 16 games. And next thing you know, you got Rivers back in top form. And so last year, the 32 TDs, 11 interceptions, only one fumble loss. Phillip Rivers has certainly showed that he's worth being a starting quarterback in fantasy football. Obviously, where you can pick him up in the draft is excellent. You can certainly build a stout positions at the offensive skill position players in front of him and get him in later rounds without having to reach or overdraft and get basically top-end point scorer for you. So I really like Phillip Rivers. As long as they can protect him, he's going to be perfectly fine because he's bringing his same offensive weapons back. Actually, Malcolm Floyd will be back on the field. He missed basically all the last season, and Ladarius Green. is a year better. So I'm expecting for Phillip Rivers to come out this year and give you another season of 4,000-plus yards and 30-plus TDs. And like I keep reiterating here, because it hurts you in fantasy football. I'll be watching my scoreboard and look at my quarterback at the end of the day, potentially have 25 points. If he just went ahead and had his 275 passing yards and two TDs, but the one fumble and the one interception brings him down to like 16, 17. So that's why you keep hearing me mention turnover so much. But Phillip Rivers, in my opinion, it has certainly shown that he can be a good fantasy start for your football team.
Miguel.
I have got to say this right here, right now. I am really high on the Chargers, dude. If you remember, Jerry, I picked the Chargers and the Seahawks at playoff time to go to the Super Bowl, man. You know, my heart was broke when they lost that game. Dude, I like this mob. I like this mob. Starting with Phillip Rivers. Starting with him. So I'm looking for them to do big things this year. Real big things this year. I think they're going to make some noise. I think they're going to give the Broncos and the Patriots some problems this year. Some problems. Serious problems. I would definitely pick up Phillip Rivers on my fantasy team. I definitely would have him there. He'd be welcome. You know what I mean? I think he's going to keep in line with what he's been doing. You know what I mean? For the past 3 to 4 years, well, this past year, so they call it a resurgence. But I think it has to do with exactly what Lance was talking about. And dude, you was on point with your stuff, man. I ain't even say that. I can't even say that. Anyway, but he's right on point. The offensive line got repaired. They should be back in the mix again this year. Look for them to be back in the mix. Definitely pick up. I would definitely pick up my man. I definitely would pick him up. Definitely. Phillip Rivers.
Yep. All right. This next guy. They confirmed the faith in this guy by locking him up for 7 years. With a $126 million contract. They also signed his BFF wide receiver to a 3-year extension. Along with Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall, they were one of the best tandems of wide receivers in all the NFL. And with a healthy, and I have to stress this extremely, with a healthy Jay Cutler, this can be one of the high-powered offenses, along with Matt Forte in the NFL under Mark Trestman. And McCown and Cutler combined were one of the top passing offenses in the league. Jay Cutler's at 31, and even though I have him at number 13, lucky, unlucky, whatever you want to put him at 13, this could be a breakout fantasy season for Jay Cutler because he has no excuses. Not to mention whenever he comes back, Martellus Bennett from suspension, he's got some weapons around him. Marshall, Jeffrey, Bennett, and Forte. That's a hell of a quartet, along with a quarterback that's got a very strong and accurate arm, even though sometimes he makes boneheaded plays. Mark Trestman has reined him in and made him a better quarterback, and he should be able to show his talents with the weapons that he has. They shore up that defense. This is going to be a team to be reckoned with within the division and especially within the conference. I definitely have Jay Cutler at number 13, and he could easily be in the top five depending on how he plays this year. Talk to me, Lance.
say, excuse me, certainly, Jerry, you hit it right on the head. There's no more excuses for Cutler, and no more excuses for Cutler whatsoever. All the things that we that you just mentioned and all the things that, you know, over the past couple of years we talked about have been solved. He's got his contract, so that's out the way. He's got his money in his pocket. The Bears certainly were one of the teams in the league that struggled in pass protection. He was under an immense amount of pressure a lot. They've went out and got that problem fixed last year during the time he was there. Only sacked 11 times, so they went out and spent some draft picks on getting some linemen in there. So now the protection is there, and not only protection, certainly the running game, you know, is back there. They've got a good offensive line in front of them. Like you said, you basically got top 10 talent at your skill positions: Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Matt Forte. So you got the weapons there. And then, like you said, when Martellus Bennett comes back, he was able to receive for over 700 yards last year, and that was without Cutler in the equation. So I think that Cutler is in tow for a big year. I have him coming in at rank number 8. I have him up a little bit higher due to those reasons I just mentioned, that the weapons that he has at his disposal. And not only that, you know what? Now he's got the coaching. You got Mark Trestman, one of the best offensive coordinators in the NFL, who's the Bears head coach. You got him calling the plays, putting mismatches together, getting the offense in the best possible situations it can be. And if Cutler can just stay within himself, he doesn't need to do a lot. I think the only knock that you have on Cutler from we've seen in the past, and, you know, I think that it's going to come out a couple times this year, is that he has a tendency to force the football. Because he has a big arm, he gets a little cocky with that and thinks that he can make every single throw. And I think that, you know, we'll still see that come out of him every now and then this season. But at the same token, when you have receivers like Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey who are saying, hey, just throw it in my direction. I'll go up and get it. I'll catch anything you throw my way. So you're going to have to live with some of his interceptions. But outside of that, if he can just stay within the system and get the ball into his playmaker's hands, I think that he can have a big year, and he'll be another guy who you can certainly put a stout lineup in front of him, catch him in later rounds, unless he really puts on a show in the preseason, then that'll obviously bump him up the draft board. But I think he's a guy that you can build a tight roster in front of him, pick him up in later rounds, and he'll definitely give you big time production with the skilled players. That he has at his disposal. I like Jay Cutler this year.
Mikal.
I really like Jay Cutler, and I've been one of these Jay Cutler apologists for like the past 3 years. I really have. So it would be really good to see him, you know, pay some dividends on that. All them apologies that I have made for the suit. He got no excuse now, man. He really does not. But I will say this, because, you know, I'm good for saying something. I think his, aside from Forte and Alshon Jeffrey, man, he got some soft receivers, man. Martellus Bennett is a soft dude. So is Brandon Marshall. I mean, these dudes, they break their pinky fingernail and they cry to the ref and whatnot, man. I do not like these dudes, man. I don't.
Really?
I don't like them. No, man. No. No, man. And you see Martellus Bennett, he just got took by a little dude. He just got took by a little dude. And then he thought about it, then he was like, nah, I can't let this happen. That's when he went back and then body slammed the dude. I'm like, come on, man, seriously. And then these dudes, you know, all this come from, you know, with me is when they played the Skins and they had a problem with Brandon Merriweather and that whole debacle, and it got all messy. And Marcellus Bennett, I've never liked him, man. He's never produced when he needed to produce. He didn't produce in Dallas. He didn't produce when he was with the Giants. Now he with Chicago. You know what I'm saying? He'll got no excuse now. He's got a good quarterback, a good system, and he's still out there messing it up. So I would like to see Jay Cutler succeed, but I don't like Brandon Marshall or Marcellus Bay. So I got mixed about the bands, man. I really do. Because Trestman is a good coach. You know, you can see, and he's very serious. He kind of got like the mad genius thing going on, mad scientist type thing going on, and I kind of like those type of coaches or whatever. And, you know, because he looks to be very, very precise or whatever. And I think that's going to be good for Jay Cutler. I don't know if he's going to have a breakout year, though, man. I don't know. I'm on the fence with that. I mean, because I've made so many apologies for this dude, I just don't know what he's going to do. I hope he do well, though. I really do.
Well, I think the key for Jay Cutler is to stay healthy. If he stays healthy in that offense with the weapons that he has, I think he has no choice but to have a breakout season. But the key is him staying healthy. And over the past few seasons leading up to this one, he hasn't been. So that's the key. And some of these quarterbacks that we named up until this point, that's the key with them is for them to stay healthy, because some of them haven't proved to be able to stay healthy. So. We'll have to wait and see what happens and how it plays out. They improved the offensive line play, so hopefully that'll equate to Jay Cutler playing well and staying on the field. All right, let's move on, and I know I'm going to hear this. There's no way I'm going to get around this one. When I start talking about this dude who is ranked 11th and 10th in fantasy quarterback scoring through two NFL seasons, even though he's in a run-heavy offense, and even though his play may have waned in the later part of last season, I still have. And I think he has a ton of upside because the fact is they're in a run heavy. And I think that because they're in a run heavy, they're going to need to throw the ball just a little bit more. He's another mobile quarterback. And I think he's going to be playing a lot better. Well, not a lot better, but he's going to be playing better, and he's going to build on the years that he's put in and also on the Super Bowl win. I have Russell Wilson at number 12 in my rankings. Lance, give it to me.
I have Wilson coming in at 15. So, okay. You know, like I said, man, when you have the players, you know, three or four spots off, like I said, that's basically kind of the – you know, same ranking, you know, couple yards here, TD there, what may have you. So, Wilson, another guy, deceptive, was a great draft pick for me last year. I ended up catching him in round seven. He's certainly shown that he is a starting quarterback. Last year, 26 interceptions, 26 touchdown passes, only 9 interceptions. The thing that kept Wilson's numbers down last year, which were a surprise, were that he only had one rushing touchdown. And that was a shock, because you knew that Wilson was at least going to get in there 4 or 5 times. I didn't have a problem with the yards, but the one rushing touchdown. Now, I'm going to tell you, the thing that I liked about it was, whether it was for fantasy purposes or, you know, him just doing his thing, is that the one touchdown certainly wasn't because he did not try. There were numerous occasions inside the 5-yard line where he kept it on the wildcat, kept it on the option read, and he just was not able to get in that end zone. So I certainly think he can do better, will do better than that one rush touchdown this year. It's just that right now the Seattle offense, you really have to take a look at the offense in preseason and look to see how they're going to handle this, because, number one, even though Marshawn Lynch is in camp, is he happy? And what type of Marshawn Lynch are you going to have this year? Because you can get the type of Marshawn Lynch that wants to prove that he's still a good running back. He plays his ass off and gets a new contract. Or we could see a Marshawn Lynch who is unhappy that the Seahawks don't want to keep him around for the long run, and he can come out and give you the type of effort that DeSean Jackson gave you a couple years ago when he was unhappy with his contract. And kind of half wing it out there. So number one, Wilson and that offense have been successful due to Marshawn Lynch rushing for over 1,300 yards the last 3 years. So I think you got to watch what's going on with the running game. And then the receivers are thin. Now they lost Golden Tate, but Percy Harvin is there. So you basically equalize that and basically have a better playmaker. But, you know, with Harvin, you got to watch his injury. He's definitely shown to be injury prone. Now, if Harvin can stay healthy for 16 games, I really like what potential Wilson has, because a swing pass, a two-yard dump, Harvin can do a lot of damage in that passing game. Outside of him, Doug Baldwin, Baldwin's a good enough receiver. You know, I don't think any of us look at him as a top-tier guy, but he's certainly not a bum. And then the only other guy that you have out there, he's got a lot of upside. I like Jermaine Kearse, a third-year player. He's shown to be nice. So I think that Seattle's offense is going to be interesting this year, because if they have to pass some more, I certainly don't doubt what Wilson can do, but it also may increase his interceptions. You know, he hasn't been asked to pass the ball a whole lot with the type of offense that they run. So I think this is just an offense you want to taper expectations. They may get off to a little slow start, but ultimately, as Cap has mentioned, he's another guy who does not turn that ball over. Has only had 10 and 9 interceptions, respectively, his first couple years. He makes great decisions and certainly is great improvising and can do a lot of damage. Had over 100 rushing yards against Indianapolis last year with his feet. So I think that Wilson is a starter. He's just another guy, though. Like I said, you certainly want to watch Seattle's offense in the preseason. They may get off to a little slow start, depending on Lynch. And also with Wilson, he's in the NFC West. So he's got 6 tough matchups on his hand against those defenses out there.
Mikal.
I really like Russell Wilson, man. I really do. I would have to stay away from him because it would be an emotional pickup. But honestly, you know, to accurately assess him, how would I pick him up? He would be if he was the last mobile quarterback out there, I would definitely pick him up. You know what I mean? And start him or whatever. He wouldn't be my first choice at mobile quarterback, but I would definitely pick him up if he's out there and I couldn't get any other mobile quarterback. With that being said, I mean, Seattle can take a step forward with their offense, but they don't have to. As far as Marshawn Lynch goes, I think this is it for him. You know, he was 29, 30. He about done, man. He had to sit out this year and get that money because he knew this was his last payday. That's why he sat out. He not gonna get another payday like that. He's done. It made good business sense for him to do what he did. You know, they knew he was gonna do it. He knew he was gonna do it, and they did it. And you know, they came to an agreement and they worked it out for him. But I don't know, man. I think you got in place right, Jerry. I think you do.
Okay. And the thing about it, he's still not happy because all they did with his money was push some money forward. That's all they did.
They didn't really do
anything with contract. So even though he's in camp and not sustaining those big hefty fines for not being in the camp, he's not totally happy. I think he sees the handwriting on the wall, like you say. They got an explosive backup in Christian Michael, and it's a strong possibility that Marshawn Lynch won't be with the team in 2015. Anyway, let's move on. Unless he takes a pay cut, which I doubt he's going to do. Seattle is one of these frugal teams that if they can get the same amount of production or close to it from a cheaper player that's on his rookie contract, just like Christian Michael, and rather than play big bucks for a running back where they can put that money elsewhere, they'll do that. So, like I said, he may not be with the team next year. Let's move on to this next guy in your neck of the woods, Mikal. At age 24, with 21 months between his ACL-LCL tear, and all the debacle that took place with the Shanahans. He's got Deshaun Jackson is 27. He's got a Pierre Garçon who's 28, a Jordan Reed who's 24, Andre Roberts who's 26, with a pass-first offense coach coming to the team in Jay Gruden. I'm looking for a a big year from a resurgence for Robert Griffin III to elite status and to make a amends for what took place last year and see some of what we saw the previous year when he was a rookie. Right now he's number 11, but I can easily see him ascending to a higher number depending on how he takes to the offense and the rest of the players, especially the new ones, Andre Roberts and Deshaun Jackson, as long as they stay healthy, and Jay Gruden, who made Andy Dalton ranked ninth in NFL passing attempts per game. I see Robert Griffin III at my number 11 position. Lance.
Certainly, Jerry. I have RG3 coming in at number 7. I love what both him and Kaepernick can do for you on the ground. That's why I have them rated higher than a couple guys who we haven't talked about yet. I'm quite sure they're coming up on the list and the damage they can do with their feet, as well as the weapons they have around them. Look, only two things, and with all, you know, obviously with all of these players, injuries, you know, certainly are taken into consideration. But outside of health concern, if these guys can stay healthy, the only thing I'm looking for RG3 is one, offensive line protection. Number two, has he learned? And if he has not, this is a big shame on him because I'm quite sure the echoes have to be to the heavens for people telling this boy to get down and get out of bounds. So if he has not learned that lesson yet, if he can stay away from major hits, if the offensive line can protect him, the only thing that I'm looking forward to see is if he's bringing back the same accuracy that he threw that football with his rookie season, because as much damage as he did on the ground, 815 rushing yards and 7 TDs, and I'm convinced that if he did not get hurt down the stretch, he would have eclipsed. He would have got those other. He would have got his 1,000 yards on the ground. He had 20 TDs, 5 interceptions. His numbers would have been – he would have won that rookie of the year if he did not get hurt. And so if he can throw the football with the same accuracy –
he won his rookie of the year.
You know what? I apologize. Did they give it to him and Luck? Did they co it up?
No, they gave it straight to him.
Well, okay. So, excuse me. Thank you for correcting me on that. I think they did win a division. Okay, excuse me on that. But if he can get back to throwing the football accurately, because as much damage as he did on the ground, it was certainly the accuracy that he threw the football with that I was most impressed with. In that year, his best receiver outside of Garcon, who missed most, you know, the major part of the year due to injury, was Santana Moss. They had a bunch of no-namers out there running around catching the football, and he was putting that ball on the money, especially scrambling and on rollout plays. So now the weapons are in place with Deshaun Jackson and Garcon, two receivers who both caught for over 1,300 last year. Like you said, you're entering Andre Roberts, a legitimate number 3. You got the running game with Alfred Morris. You got the tight end in Jordan Reed. If RG3 is going to be as accurate as he was with the football as a rookie and he can stay from getting injured, he is certainly going to have a monster year because there's still no question with that speed. It only takes a blink of an eye for him to get 10 to 15 yards running the football. So, you know, factoring the injuries and him getting down, I think RG3 is set up to have a huge year in fantasy football. And I know he is a guy who's going to be going off the draft board pretty quick after that first tier of quarterbacks are taken.
McCaff, it's your boy.
Yeah, Super Bob.
Super Bob.
Yeah, Super Bob. Look, man, I'm going to tell you straight up like this. This dude has high risk, high reward. High risk, high reward. He is the most risky mobile quarterback out there in fantasy. I mean, as far as injury. I mean, two ACLs on that right knee. Come on, man. That is really, really, really dangerous. The speed is still there. He's been very inconsistent in practice and preseasons and stuff like that. So, I don't know. I don't know if I would take him. I mean, I would really have a hard choice between him and, what's his name, Russell. I really would. But honestly, I think you both have this dude way too high because he's too risky. He's way risky. I mean, I know all the upside, Andre Roberts, Pierre Garçon, what's the new boy, Deshaun Jackson, and we still got Santana, and then they got a couple of new youngins that they hyped about. The running game is going to be awesome. Awesome. We got like six running backs, crazy speed. But Robert Griffin III has got to slide. He's got to slide. He's got to get down. And this youngin, it's like this youngin does not want to give up. He don't want to give up. He don't want to quit. You know what I mean? You like that part about him, but you like, come on, man, get down. The whole time you watching him, you like, come on, man, don't get hurt. Don't get hurt. I don't think that I would take him just because of that, because I'd be like, nah, man, this dude going to get hurt. I am so terrified of him getting hurt. It's ridiculous. You know, I'm hoping that they run the ball, 2,500 times this year. Seriously. Without him just hand the ball off, so manage the game, you know what I'm saying? If something go bad, you know, something break down or whatever. And that's been another issue coming in camp. You know what I'm saying? Gruden has been saying, you know, throw the ball away, you know, take care of the ball type of thing. Robert has been like, you know, they're not supposed to tackle the quarterback. Robert has been keeping on with the play, run outside a little bit after he's been tagged and still throw the ball or whatever. And he keeps coming up with these excuses why he's doing it. But, you know, it's semantics. It's semantics. The coach is saying one thing, he's saying another thing. But I think they're more closer than the shenanigans. I really think so. I really think so. They're much closer than them.
I just wanted to say, so definitely, I'm happy you brought up, we were able to all emphasize the injuries, because this is the thing, you draft RG3, air of caution, make sure you have a reliable backup, or make sure you have another starting quarterback, because like you said, at this point, you definitely begin to hold your breath when you see him break that pocket. So I think he's an excellent pickup. But certainly I have to agree with you, Cal, and you mentioned as well, Jerry, you certainly don't want to have him be your starting quarterback, and then the next best available option is Alex Smith or Flacco. Some of these guys we talked about as subs, you want to still have a legitimate starter behind
right.
him in case he does get injured.
Right. All right, let's move on to this guy's the first ballot Hall of Famer. With a first ballot Hall of Famer coach who changed his philosophy this past draft year, picking up three draft picks on offensive lineman and another running back, and also a quarterback in the second round. He's got a tight end who's coming back from ACL and a MCL tear. He's got a wide receiver who, where he was with the Rams, has never been able to stay healthy and continue that trend coming to the Patriots and Danny Amendola, who's never been able to stay healthy, but he's healthy now. They re-signed Julian Edelman, and they added Brandon LaFell from the Carolina Panthers. But year in and year out, Tom Brady has always made whoever is catching the ball outstanding. When they leave, they're not the same. But when they're in that system with Tom Brady throwing the football, they're all world, to say the least. And I expect Tom Brady to have a Tom Brady type of year. And, in fact, I expect him to have a bounce-back year from last year, even though his year wasn't, Tom Brady-like year. I expect him to have an even better year as long as his weapons, including Gronk, who's his really his main target, to stay healthy. Tom Brady is going to have a better year than he had last year. I think he didn't even throw 30 touchdowns last year, if I'm not mistaken. And I have him ranked within the top 10. In fact, he's number 10. A lot of people probably won't pick him out at the number 10 quarterback because of what happened to him last year. And the luster has gone off of Tom Brady, and he may go later in drafts, but I have him rated number 10 quarterback. Lance.
Certainly, Jerry. Tom Brady, look, prior to last year, prior three seasons, 36 TDs, 4 interceptions, 39 TDs, 12 interceptions, 34 TDs, 8 interceptions. So we all know what Brady is about. Last year, like you said, and this is the tricky thing, and I always emphasize when it comes to fantasy football, his overall numbers were excellent. I don't think any of us would refuse a quarterback on our team if they were going to throw for 4,300 yards, 25 TDs, and only 11 interceptions. Sounds great. However, when we look at the individual games, and Tom Brady fantasy owners last year were hugely disappointed because Brady, he only had, Brady only had two games the whole season where he only threw for more than three TD passes. He had, five games where he only threw one TD pass, and he had another two games where he did not throw a TD pass at all. And so if you were relying on Tom Brady to be your starting quarterback last year, you were saying, what in the hell is going on here? Because you know right. The production you used to putting up with Brady. However, I will say this. I've got him ranked back to all the way up at number 3 this year. I'm a guy who I don't feed into what happened the year before. This is the thing with Brady, and Willie is going to have him be at 3. Or down at 10, where I think you have him properly ranked as well, is the injuries of his supporting cast. If everyone is healthy, it's going to be shoot the darts again. We know that Brady, Breeze, Manning, these top quarterbacks, they make the wide receivers. It's their pinpoint accuracy and them knowing the offense and the defense inside and out, which allows them to thrive. And so if he's going to have healthy Amendola, Edelman, Aaron Dobson, Kimbrell Tompkins, LaFell, Shane Vereen is an underrated running back that he uses in the passing game, and you have a healthy Gronkowski, along with, you know, Ridley getting back on track that running game, and then the Patriots defense, if they're able to stay healthy on paper, they have a very strong defense this year, which is going to present the offense with even more opportunities. And this is the other thing, too, about Tom Brady. He won't tell you that to your face, but Tom Brady is certainly a competitor, and when he sees Peyton Manning breaking records, he knows that he's hearing his name take a little bit of a hit off. He's got a fire burning inside. Tom Brady, certainly, I expect to come out this year if his weapons are healthy, and he's going to have a spectacular year. Obviously, like I said, in the off year, 4,300 yards, he has an ability to eclipse that. I certainly expect him to be back over 30 touchdowns, and so I'm high on Tom Brady. I think this is a year that he bounces back strong as long as his weapons can stay healthy. But as you mentioned, Jerry, if some guys go down, and a lot of these guys we have seen, have the ability to get injured, then I would expect for his numbers to probably be around what they were last year. And like I said, that if he's going to be inconsistent like he was last year, Tom Brady was not a starting quarterback except for a couple games in fantasy football last year.
Right. Mikal.
This is the best quarterback in the league, man. This dude is the best of the best. Yeah, I'm saying he's better than Brady. He's better than Breeze. He's better than Aaron. You know, Aaron just got like, you know, he's just younger. You know what I'm saying? He's just the heir apparent. But for right now, as long as number 12 put on that Patriot uniform, son, he is the best. He is the most efficient quarterback I have ever seen in my life. And he does it so smooth, man. It's just smooth. I would pick him up in fantasy just because of that. I'll take my chances. If he's inconsistent like he was last year, I'll take my chances. I don't care. The dude is nice, man. The dude is nice. I mean, he does it year in and year out. And I'm going to tell y'all, you need to pay attention to that youngin they just scooped up from Carolina. That dude is going to have a big year. He's going to have a big year as far as touchdowns. I mean, he's like 6'3", 6'4". That's the type of wide receiver they need. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what's up with Gronk or whatever, but that dude's going to have a good year. And watching them, I mean, they took the Redskins to school in practice, man. Seriously. That dude, he's the best quarterback ever, man. He's the best quarterback I ever seen, man. I went down there to training camp. I ain't tell you, Jerry. I went down there. That dude looked nice, man. Rode all the way down to Richmond, man. That dude looked nice. He plays. He looks better when you watching him play. Better than you would think he does. It looked like he was directing a symphony, man. He looked good, man. Let me start with the man crush on him, but yeah, I take him, Slim.
Okay. All right, we're going to another division rival here. That Mikal, this guy has been a top 10 fantasy quarterback for 5 of the past 10 years. His head coach's offense has ranked 13th, 9th, 12th, 3rd, and 14th in pass attempts over the last 5 years. His new play caller have finished 6th, 3rd, 1st, 1st, and 5th over the last 5 years. This offense is going to definitely throw the ball around. They lost Miles Austin. They still have an up-and-coming Terrence Williams as Robin to Dez Bryant's Batman, along with his BFF, who happens to be Jason Witten. I'm talking about the second-time back surgery quarterback from the Dallas Cowboys. Tony Romo is number 9 on my hit list in the quarterback rankings. Lance.
Sure thing, Jerry. I have Romo coming in at number 9 myself, so we definitely feel the same about him. Look, Tony Romo is certainly another guy who every year, every single year, flies under the radar, but you know what? He puts up the big numbers. Now, obviously, 2012 was the year that we've seen his interceptions skyrocket more than we wanted, 19. But last year, 3,800 yards, 31 TDs, 10 interceptions. 2011, similar numbers, 4,100 yards, 31 TDs, 10 interceptions. Was hurt in 2010, 2009, 4,400 yards, 26 TDs, 9 interceptions. So, I mean, you know that Tony Romo can put the numbers up. You know, my only criticism, I think, to anybody who has a somewhat of an accurate view or any criticism you hear of Romo, obviously, is that he's not a team leader. He certainly does not, the key mistakes, obviously, you know, the turnovers at the most costly of times, the bad decisions, the fumbles at just the most costly of times haunt Romo. This Cowboys team also has only won one playoff game since he's been the starter back in 2006. So, I mean, when we're just talking strictly fantasy football, Tony Romo's a starting quarterback. That weak NFC East division is easy to get numbers on. Dallas's defense appears right now to be in shambles, so you know they're going to be in a lot of shootouts and on the field a lot. You like the weapons he has with Dez Bryant, Jason Witten. You mentioned Terrence Williams, Cole Beasley, a nice little slot receiver. He has some rapport with him. And if DeMarco Murray can stay healthy, not only is Murray an effective runner, he can catch out the backfield. So Tony Romo's a guy for me who I would certainly have on my roster. He can be a start every week, or he can be a guy that you fill in But I used to be a little bit reluctant due to his turnovers. But overall, when you look at the numbers I just mentioned, he can certainly fill up the stat sheet. Certainly has a couple games a year where he's up 350, you know, 400 yards, things of that nature. So, yeah, as far as Tony Romo, the football player in the NFL, not too high on, but Tony Romo, the quarterback in fantasy football, he's certainly a surefire guy for me. He can definitely put the stats up.
All right, Mikal, your boy, NFC East.
I don't know about Romo, man. I mean, you didn't have to, he's this second back surgery, man. Second time he's coming from back surgery. The dude's not practicing. I mean, granted, you know, it's the same offense. You know, he's the same type quarterback. I mean, and everybody knows that when it's all on the line, he's been choking. You know, he. Fantasy-wise, yeah, I definitely agree. Yeah, you want to pick him up on your fantasy because he puts up those numbers, but I don't know this year. That back don't sound right, man. It does not sound right this year at all. I mean, the second year for this nonsense, I don't know. He right, him and Super Bowl right in the same boat, right in the same boat, except for Super Bowl doesn't have the choke. You know, he hasn't choked. He hasn't had the opportunity to choke. But Romo, like Lance said, yeah, at the most inopportune times, this dude just throws the interception, fumbles the ball, or just messes up the play. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, the football player, no. Fantasy player, yeah. Yeah, you hit that right on the mark, Lance. I'm parroting everything you're saying, Slum.
Cool. Right, good point there, too. I just wanted to mention Mikal. That injury, sorry, yeah, there, Jerry. I just wanted to mention Romo is 34, and I didn't mention it. That injury, especially a back injury, you certainly do want to have an air caution. So that was definitely a good point, something I need to consider when it comes to drafting Romo as well.
Right. Let's move on to this guy had an abysmal, not I wouldn't say abysmal season, because he threw for over 4,500 yards, 26 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. But he lost both his wide receivers, Roddy White to a high ankle sprain and was ineffective throughout a bunch of the season. He lost Steven Jackson, who tore a hamstring. He lost Julio Jones in week 5 to a foot fracture. And his offensive line was abysmal for the most part for the whole year. He really had Tony Gonzalez and Harry Douglas that he was throwing to. But he regressed, and I'm saying this facetiously, he regressed to the 13th per game fantasy QBREX scoring. So even though he had all those issues, Matt Ryan still was a highly productive quarterback, and with all his weapons back, I'm bringing him back up to top 10 status. I'm giving him number 8, Matt Ryan, number 8 on my hit list. Talk to me, Lance.
I've got him peaking just outside the top 10. I actually have him slated in at 12. Like you said, I mean, in what was an off year, 11 games without Julio Jones, Roddy White wasn't back to his normal self to maybe about the last 4 or 5 games of the season, no Steven Jackson, and the offensive line in shambles. 4,500 yards, 26 TDs in an off year. Certainly, there's room for improvement there. The 17 interceptions and the 4 fumbles, obviously, offset some of those numbers. Health is the key here in Atlanta. Now, we all know that they lost a future Hall of Fame tight end, Tony Gonzalez. So now you got a different Falcons team because Gonzalez demanded double coverage in the middle of that field, especially in the red zone, which left White and Julio Jones outside to kind of do their thing. So with Tony Gonzalez gone, you wonder what is that going to do to their passing game? Could it possibly hurt some blocking? You know, is Harry Douglas, is he finally going to you know, take his diapers off and step up here and fill in that slot position and maybe help that offense move the ball? But I think health is the main thing. I don't question Matty Ice. We know that Atlanta, as much as they say every season they want to run a football, we know that they're going to pass the ball a lot. And if Julio Jones and Roddy White can stay healthy along with Steven Jackson, then he'll certainly put up the numbers. Even if you take the numbers from last year, I know he had one game where he just was horrible, threw like four or five interceptions in the game. So, I mean, if he can get those turnovers down, I think 4,500 yards and upwards of 30 touchdowns is certainly in the cards. Atlanta's another team whose defense is not looking good in the preseason, so certainly more opportunity for that offense to be on the football field. But, again, I just emphasize health because if Steven Jackson goes down, if Roddy White or Julio Jones were to miss any significant time, you're kind of right back in that same boat you were last year, minus the Tony Gonzalez. So that's why I have him ranked outside the top 10. He can put the numbers up, but I just wonder about the depth on this offense if any of these guys get hurt. And look, we've got to be realistic. Jones may not be the most serious injury threat, but that was his second year with him missing extensive time. So you got to watch Julio Jones' injury status. And then, unfortunately, Steven Jackson has definitely shown to be injury prone. So I like Ryan putting up the numbers, but again, you definitely want to watch the skill players on Atlanta and their health, minus Tony Gonzalez as well.
Okay, Macau.
I got Matty Ice coming back strong this year, man. I really got him coming back strong. Now you got the wide receivers. They real confident. They talking a lot of smack. But I got them two dudes being able to back it up. I really like Roddy White, and I really like Julio Jones. I think these two are the best tandem in the league. I think they're better than those Bammers over at the Bears. You know what I'm saying? I like them a lot better than them Bammers over at the Bears. But I think Matty Ice has been consistent except for last year. Last year was real rough for them. They dipped down to 3-13. They bubble burst a little bit. It's gonna be dependent upon that defense. If that defense can keep them in games, they should be able to take it. You know what I mean? They should be able to get back to where they were. I don't know if I'd take Matty Ice off the break. I mean, that's just me, but I would definitely recommend him to others. If you're going to take him, go ahead and take him. It's not a bad choice. Not a bad choice at all.
Okay. All right, guys. We got about 10 minutes left, and we got 7 quarterbacks to go over, so we're going to make these a little bit briefer. Okay.
All right.
The next guy I got, he's in Chip Kelly offense. He lost to DeSean Jackson. His interception to touchdown ratio was 27-2. I don't expect him to be like that, but I don't expect him to regress that much. I think he's still going to be effective. He wasn't effective in the preseason game, but it's only the first preseason. I like Nick Foles at number 7. Lance.
I got Foles coming in at number 10. Like what he has at his disposal as well. I think health as well. You know, the wide receiving core is a little bit skinny. Jeremy Maclin's got to stay healthy. If that offense can stay healthy, they got the weapons. McCoy, Darren Sproles got two good tight ends. Riley Cooper, like I said, if Maclin can stay healthy, Chip Kelly offense. So don't expect the two interceptions again. You know, that's something that's just unheard of. But I certainly think that he can get 27-plus TDs, over 4,000 yards. I really like what Nick Foles brings to the table in the weak NFC East division.
This dude is due for a serious market correction, Slim. Serious market correction.
Okay.
No doubt about it at all. I don't know. I still don't know because I'm still leery about Chip Kelly's offense or whatever. You know, he's feeling himself a little bit, letting go of DeSean Jackson. So that's all I got to say.
All right. Let's move on to number 6. This guy lost 2 wide receivers, his starting wide receivers, Steve Smith and Brandon LaFell. Each went to Baltimore and one went to New England. He got Jericho Cotchery and a rookie Kelvin Benjamin. He still is a dual threat, even though he's got ankle issues right now. I still see him as a number one QB in fantasy. I'm talking about Cam Newton. Lance.
Not as high on Newton this year at all. It's certainly not due to his ability, but when I look at what he has to work with and his shame on Carolina, I mean, obviously grabbing Kelvin Benjamin this year, but shame on Carolina for not putting better passing options around Cam Newton in past years. I just don't like the weapons. You got the rookie Benjamin. After him, you got Jason Avant, Jericho Cotchery, veterans on their last leg, and Tyquan Underwood. Olsen's a good tight end. I like that option there, but this is a big year for Cam. I'm quite sure we'll talk about that some other time, but he has not shown to me the consistency from throwing the ball accurately inside the pocket. And with those type of wide receivers that we just spoke of, they're not going to scare any defenses, not going to be a lot of separation. I don't like the Panthers' offense, period, this year. I don't see Newton. Now, obviously, what he can do, scoring a ball from the goal line and running, that threat is still there. But I just don't see it. I don't see this Panthers' offense putting up a lot of points and being as explosive this year. I had Newton actually myself ranked 15, kind of middle of the pack, because it's boom or bust. He'll either explode and kind of get in situations where he'll pass for a ton of yards, whether it be in garbage time and put up stats, or that Carolina offense is just going to struggle as a whole, and I'm leaning more towards that, not too high on Cam Newton this year.
Mikhail.
The GM at Carolina needs his ass whooped. Seriously. He really needs his ass whooped, and I am just the dude to give it to him because I like this dude, Cam Newton. I really like him, but, you know, He does not have the tools to help him succeed this year. Maybe they see something in these youngins that, you know, we don't know yet. You know, I that's what I'm hoping for. I mean, but this dude is definitely would be my number one pick if he had more tools around him.
Okay. All right, let's go to the Motor City. Plethora of weapons, including Calvin Johnson, a new coach in Jim Caldwell, and Golden Tate as another wide receiver. I got Matthew Stafford, number five. Talk to me, Lance, quickly.
Same. I got Stafford at number five. Key for him, like we mentioned with so many other quarterback turnovers, like Romo, like Andy Dalton, most inopportune time, most costly time, a fumble, an interception, a pick six. He's averaged close to 5,000 yards passing, has a plethora of weapons, so there's no doubt Stafford can put up the numbers. If he can keep his interceptions down, don't be surprised to see him in the top three. If he's going to continue to make silly turnovers, which I think Coach Jim Caldwell can help him clean up, Matthew Stafford is another great value pick. You can catch in later rounds, especially obviously with the number one wide receiver in the game on his side. I like Matthew Stafford a lot. He's just got to keep those turnovers down.
Yeah, I like Jim Caldwell as well for Matt Stafford. I really like this this matchup for him. It's set up for him to succeed this year. But I don't know if I take him. I got to see something first. Maybe I take him and stash him and take a look and see how they operating first, and then, you know, maybe move him into the starting position.
Okay. This next guy. Reggie Wayne, T.Y. Hilton, Hakeem Nicks, Derrick Rogers, Dante Moncrief, along with the two tight ends, Dwayne Allen and Kobe Fleener. Andrew Luck, a lot of weapons, getting better each year, and I got him ranked number four. Talk to me.
I got him ranked 11. A couple quarterbacks I mentioned ahead of him, Kaepernick, Cutler, RG3, Foles, I think just going to put up better production. I certainly like the weapons that he has. He'll have more weapons at his disposal. Luck's another guy who can get you money on the ground. I just have to actually see it take place. But Luck is certainly a guy who, Jerry, I have him at 11, you have him at 4. I certainly think he'll land somewhere between there just based on how their offense produces, but can't go wrong with having Andrew Luck as a starter.
The only thing I'm going to say about Andrew Luck is turnovers, man. Just be leery of them turnovers, man. I just don't know. I just don't know with him. I mean, he you know what? He does all the mechanical things that he's supposed to do. He's got the look, he's got the presence, and he knows how to operate in the pocket, but he got to watch his interceptions this year, man. He really
got to
watch them.
Okay. Let's move on to the dirty. We're talking about going down to Louisiana and a guy who's thrown for 5,000 yards in at least two consecutive seasons. Jimmy Graham, a new toy in Brandon Cooks to replace Darren Sproles. I got him at number three, Drew Brees. Lance.
Yep, I got him coming in at number two. Like you said, back-to-back 5,000-yard seasons if it wasn't for Manning, and that's who record Manning broke was Breeze's. He's got all the weapons there. You know the Saints are pass happy. They definitely get it cracking over 35 points a game there in the Superdome. No problems at all. Drew Brees, number two quarterback. And by the way, every year you always see him being in the championship game or in the playoffs. So Drew Brees is not only a good fantasy quarterback, he's an excellent fantasy quarterback. You pick him up, put some pieces around him, he's almost certain to get your team to the playoffs. Love Drew Brees.
You definitely cannot go wrong with having Drew Brees on your team. I mean, I think last year we was having a silly conversation with a silly young man talking about trying to debate if he was going to put Kirk Cousins in or Drew Brees in. It was just ridiculous. And me and Jerry was right, as usual. But you can't go wrong with Drew Brees, man. You cannot go wrong with him.
Right. And the next one in line, quite naturally, we haven't mentioned him, these last two, is Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Mike McCarthy's offense in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, number two. Lance, quickly.
Got him at four. Could be a little bit lower if Stafford shines through. Some of these other guys I mentioned nibbling at his heels, Kaepernick, Cutler. The thing that you want to watch out for with Aaron Rodgers is no more five receiver sets. They got a power running game now with Eddie Lacy. I still think Aaron Rodgers is a great fantasy quarterback for your team. You just want to tape your expectations a little bit because, like I said, they have a power running game now. I think that'll make him more efficient. But, you know, 39 TDs, 4,500 yards, what we're used to, probably down about 4,000, 30 TDs, but obviously can't go wrong with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback.
Definitely a solid pickup. This guy is really good. You want to watch injuries. You can't go wrong with Aaron Rodgers.
And, of course, number one, who's consistently thrown for 5,000 yards, he's got a plethora of options. The two Thomas's brothers, Wes Welker, and he picked up Emmanuel Sanders, along with Monte Ball doing the running. Peyton Manning, number one. Lance.
There's nothing to say. Peyton Manning, plain and simple.
Thank God that this dude does not have to play the Seattle Seahawks every game this year. But it's definitely a solid pickup. Definitely.
Okay. Well, that being said, quickly around the horn before we get cut off, and I don't think we will. Lance, anything quickly you got to say?
Nope. I would just say watch out for Teddy Bridgewater. If he can become a starter, I like the weapons he has around him with Adrian Peterson, Patterson, Greg Jennings, Kyle Rudolph. That's about it, though. I think we're very accurate on our rankings today.
I think I've said enough for today. Stay away from Super Bob. He's a little risky, man. He's a little risky.
Okay. With that being said, I want to thank you guys definitely for spending the time. Tune in next week, for all you people that listen, and especially listen in the archives. We're going to be on the master plan talking about wide receivers. We're going down each position. Tight end was first. We went over quarterbacks. Next week was wide receivers, and we're going to end it up 2 weeks from now with running backs. With that being said, enjoy the rest of the weekend. You guys enjoy the week. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be back here doing the same thing next week, and we are out of here.
Let's go.
Out of here, 1100.
Ain't no room for hesitation up in here. It's time to leave it on the field because it's game time. It's time to make your hard work pay off. Make your mom and dad proud. Make your opponent pay the price. It's time to step up and get it done, son. You go hard or you go home. From the first whistle to the last. Bring it all day, every play. Because you know your boys is going to put on the line for you. They got your back, so you better have theirs. This is about the team. It's about pride. It's about who's the hungriest. So what's it going to be, man? You going to leave it on the field, or you going to leave it inside? You going to leave it or something in your tank, or you going to do what champions do?